Welcome. I didn't look at the list before I came today, so truth is I don't remember who's next. But next week's Yom Kippur, so there's no parsha next Thursday night. So be in touch on that subject. I'd like to thank Rabbi Taubes. Whenever I ask him, his connection to Rina goes way back, as many here would know, and he's a real friend of Rinat and a very, very good friend of mine. Without further ado, as we all know, he's Rosh Yeshiva YU, as well as Rabbi down the block at Zichron Mordechai. Without further ado, Rabbi Thomas.
The Gemara towards the very end of Maseches Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph Mabez records a very ancient takana, a very ancient rabbinic enactment. It goes back to the days of Ezra. Ezra, we know, lived yet in biblical times. Ezra was the leader of the Jewish people when they came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, and it's recorded towards the end of Tanakh. So Ezra was one of the great heroes of the Jewish people. Gemara has in a couple of places that he enacted certain takonas, certain rabbinic decrees that apply to the Jewish people. They don't have the force of a Torah law, it's not in the Torah, but they have the force of a Din Rabbanan, but it's a very ancient Din Rabbanan. So one of them is recorded here on the Aflamin Alpham Beis in the first source. Tanya B'Shimel Omer, Ezra Tikin Lan Yisrael, Shukorin Klolos Shabbataras Kanim Kodam Atzeres. Ezra made a takona that you're supposed to read the Klolos. Klolos means curses. Means the curses, the punishments, the tragedies, all the long list of all the terrible things that will happen to the Jewish people should they fail to observe the dinim of the Torah. We call it popularly the Tochacha. The Tochacha, there are two different Tochachas in the Chumash. One in the end of Chumash Vayikra and Parshas Vechukosai, and then one we read last week and towards the end of Chumash Dvar and Parshas Kisavos. So there are two different Tochachas. So the Gemara records that Ezra, way back when, beginning of the Bayesheni period sometime, Ezra made a takana that we should read the Klolos, the Tochacha, Shebetoras Kanim. Toras Kanim is the rabbinic nickname for Chumash Vayikra. That's called Toras Kohanim. It's about the Kohanim or the Levium, Levites. That's why it's called Leviticus in the English from the Greek. All right, so the Klolos and Toras Kohanim should be read Kodem Atzeres. Atzeres is the rabbinic nickname for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So you're supposed to read the Klolos, the Tochachon, Parshu Kosai prior to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which is not our issue tonight. The Sheva Mishnah Torah Kodem Rosh Hashanah. The klolos, the curses, the punishments that are described in Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah is the rabbinic nickname for Chumash Devarim. Means the second presentation of Torah. That's a Deuteronomy for the Greek. Means the second, right? So that's the nickname that we have in English. So Chazal called it Mishnah Torah. So the klolos, the tocha, and the Mishnah Torah is supposed to be read before Rosh Hashanah. That was the takana of Ezra. And where's my time? Why did Ezra make such a takana? What was his thinking? So Amar Abaye, the Tamer Shlokish, Abaye said, Tamer Shlokish, Kedesha Tichle Shona Hashona Vikilosel. Let's look at this Shabbos, right? We're coming into Rosh Hashanah, just another couple of days. So you want the old year and all its curses and all its tzaras and all the problems. Let's get rid of all that. We'll read the Tochacha and Parshas Kisavo last week. Such a long list of horrible things, one after the other. Let's get rid of that at the end of the old year, end of the outgoing year. And we'll get rid of that Tichle Shana V'Kilosei, the old outgoing year and all its curses and all its tzaras and all its punishments will be removed. And we'll start the new year with a more cheerful news. You know, with the Tochacha Shana V'Kilosei, the year, new year should begin with its brachas and in a positive way. Let's not dwell on these negative things. That's why Ezra was misakin that we should read the Tochacha and Chumash Devarim and Parshas Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah to kind of get rid of all these things before the new year begins. So then the Gemara says that's good for Rosh Hashanah, but what's that got to do with the first part of the takana? Was that you should read the Tocha in Chumash Vayikra before Shavuos? Shavuos is not the beginning of the new year, is it? The Gemara says yes, from a certain perspective, Shavuos is the beginning of the new year because it's for the fruit. So we bring the Bikurim. That's not our topic for tonight. So what the Gemara says is that the Takonis Ezra that we have to read the Tochacha in Chumash Devarim that we read in Parshas Kisavo prior to Rosh Hashanah. The truth is, though, that's not exactly what we do. Right? We're not reading the Tocha of Kisavo this Shabbos. This Shabbos we're going to read Parshas Nitzavim. In fact, we always read Parshas Nitzavim on the Shabbos prior to Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos just before Rosh Hashanah is always Parshas Nitzavim as it is this year. So the question is, why do we not exactly follow the Chora when Ezra said before Rosh Hashanah? He means right before, not the week, 2 months, half a year before. It means right before. So we don't exactly follow this Takana Ezra. The question is, why not? Why do we always read, that's why the title of the Shir, why do we always read Parshas Nitzavim on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah? It seems to go against this Takanas Ezra. So the Balei HaTosas and the second source are sensitive to this, but they come to this in a totally different, they approach this issue based on a totally different question. So I have to give some quick background material. Tosos del Maskel close Shabbat Torah's Kanam and so on. The Tosos recorded Shalom Beis Hamedrash Shal Rabbeinu Nisim. This question was batted around in the Beis Medrash of Rabbeinu Nisim. Rabbeinu Nisim here doesn't mean the Ran, like we have the Ran on the Rif in the back of the Gemara. The Chiddush Aran means Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon, one of the Gaonim. So they raised this question with a totally different question. For that, I'll give you some quick background. I said a moment ago that we always read Parshas Nitzavim on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, which is true. However, in some years, it's doubled up with Vayelech. Sometimes it's on Vayelech, this year it's not. This year it's just Nitzavim. We always do read Nitzavim, but sometimes it's together with Vayelech, sometimes it's just Nitzavim. What does that depend upon? So a lot of times, whether it's a double Seder or not, depends on whether it's a leap year or not. Like in a leap year, we have an extra Ador, so there are more Shabboses to work with, so we need double Seder. We have to double up Tazri and Mitzorah, Arachmos and Kedoshim, and so on. And in a leap, in a non-leap year, we do have to double certain things up. But this doesn't have anything to do with that. This has to do with how many Shabboses there are in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. How many days there are from Rosh Hashanah to Sukkot? Not how many days, they're always the same number of days from Rosh Hashanah to Sukkot. But it means how many Shabbosos, or specifically, how many Shabbosos available for the Parshas HaShavuah. What do I mean? So let's work backwards. We know that by the end of Sukkot, Simchas Torah, we have to be up to Parshas El Sabracha. That's our tradition to finish the cycle of Torah reading on Simchas Torah. So therefore, we have to be up to Vizel Sabracha by Simchas Torah. That's a given. That means the parsha before Simchas Torah, right, Hazinu, that's the Seder before Vizos HaBracha, has to be read the Shabbos before Simchas Torah. The only thing is the Shabbos before Simchas Torah, sometimes Simchas Torah is on a Sunday, so the Shabbos before Simchas Torah is Shmini Atzeres. Okay, and the Shabbos before that is the first day of Sukkot. So we don't read the, and when a Yontif lands on Shabbos, we don't read the next parsha of Shabbos, as you know. We read something relating to the Yontif. So the Shabbos before Simchas Torah is, and even if Simchas Torah is not on a Sunday, if Simchas Torah is during the week, so the Shabbos before Simchas Torah will be Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So we also don't read the Parshas HaShavuah, we read a special reading for Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So you're going to have to read Parshas Hazinu when? Before Sukkot. Before Sukkot. Now, does before Sukkot also mean before Yom Kippur? So that depends. That depends. Is there a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot? And the answer is sometimes yes and sometimes no. Let's say Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, so Sukkot is the following Wednesday night. There's no Shabbos in between. Or if Yom Kippur is on a Monday, Sukkot is the following Friday night. So there's no Shabbos. On such a year, you'll have to read Hazinu before, not only before Sukkot, but on the Shabbos before Yom Kippur. We call that Shabbos Shuvah. You have to read Hazinu on the Shabbos of Shabbos Shuvah. That's okay. So we do. That's what we do. But in that case, when are you going to read Vayelech? So then you'll have to double up, need some Vayelech, the previous Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, right? Shabbos Shuvah is always the Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah, so you're going to read Hazinu in that scenario, so you'll have to push Vayelech back to the previous week. We'll have to double it up. Like I said, we always read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah, so in a year like that, which is not the case this year, next year will be like that, but the case is not like that this year, so you'll have to double up Nitzav Vayelech. However, in a year like this year, when there is a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, this year Yom Kippur is a Wednesday, Sukkot is Sunday night, so there is a Shabbos. So we can read, and we will read, Hazinu, that Shabbos. Okay, so in Vayelech will be read the Shabbos for Yom Kippur, what we call Shabbos Shuvah. That's exactly what we're going to do. And then the Shabbos before that is this tomorrow, is this this coming Shabbos, is just Nitzavim. So that's what it depends on, whether there's a Shabbos, an extra Shabbos to work with, that you don't have to, you don't have to double up Nitzavim Vayelech, you read them separately. When there's no extra Shabbos, you read Nitzavim Vayelech together. When there is an extra Shabbos, a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, then you read them separately. So getting back now, so the Balabatim or the Talmidim asked of Nisim, going, one second, why do we do that? Why do we do it that way? I understand we have to double up in order to get to the right place, in order to get to Hazinu in time. But you know, Nitzavim Vayelech are the two shortest sedras in the Chumash. Nitzavim has 40 psukim, Vayelech has 30 psukim. When you double them up, they're still shorter than most sedras in the Torah. They're very short. So someone came up with the idea, they asked Rav Nisim Gaon, if you go back about 8 weeks before Tisha B'Av, so we had two sedras, Matos and Masei. Those are two regular length sedras. Okay, and very often, more often than not, far more often than not, Matos and Masei have doubled up. We double up Matos and Masei once in a while, not, but very this year, Eretz Yisrael, they didn't, if you remember, we were behind Eretz Yisrael for a while, but generally speaking, we double up Matos and Masei. Together, Matos and Masei are 244 psukim. That's a bomb laning. Right? No Baal Kriya is that eager to read Parshas Matos and Masei. So they asked Rav Nisim Gaon, one second, why double up Matos and Masei in a year when you have that extra Shabbos to work with? Let's anyway read Nitzavim and Vayelech together, okay? and separate matas and masay. Give the people in shul a break. In other words, matas and masay should be separate. You know, why double up? In a year, there's no choice because, you know, they don't have that extra Shabbos. Okay, well, I have no choice. We'll double up matas and masay. But in a year, when we have the choice, we have that extra Shabbos to work with. Good, so let's read Nitzom Vayelech on that extra. Hazin will be the Shabbos after Yom Kippur, and after Rosh Hashanah will be Nitzavim and Vayelech together, because you'll be behind, right? You split up Matas and Masay, and then you'll double up Nitzavim Vayelech. Much more convenient for people, much Tircha Nitzibur, right? That's the question. Shalom Beismesh, Rabbi Nissim, Loma Mechalkim Parsha Nitzavim Vayelech Lishnaim, Kishesh Beis Shabbos Ben Rosh Hashanah Lesukis, below Yom Kippur, Ve'en Mechalkim Matas and Masim, Sharuchos Yoser. Now, incidentally, doing it that way will also enable us to follow the Takon of Ezra exactly correctly. Because then we'll be reading Kisovo. Remember, if we split up Matas and Masay, so everything's a week later. So we'll be reading Kisovo, the Tochacha and Kisovo, this Shabbos, the Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. And we'll double up Nitzom Vayelech next week on Shabbos Shuvah, and then Hazina the following week after Yom Kippur. So why don't we do that? So Nissim go and give an answer. But Heshiv, he said, because who says that the Takana of Ezra to read the Tochacha of Devarim refers only to Parshas Kisovo? If you think about it for a moment, you look in Parshas Nitzavim and pay attention. You know, we read it this morning, Monday and Thursday. And so there's some pretty vicious, strong language of punishment. You know, here also, right? There's pretty. It's a curse. It says, and to talk about the destruction of Eretz Yisrael, and Lo Yova Hashem Sloach Lo, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will not want to forgive. Ki Oz Yesha Naf Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's anger will burn and so on. You know, and the land will be so destroyed that people will come and wonder, Al Me Asa Hashem Kacha, what in the world happened here? Right? I mean, it's so says of Nisim Gom, the Takana of Ezra was to read the klolos of Mishnah Torah, the punishments, the curses in Chumash Devarim. That includes not only Kisovo, but Nitzavim as well. Because the beginning of Nitzavim has some pretty harsh-sounding punishments also. So Mamela, that's why we can't do this trick, even in a year when you have that extra Shabbos, but we want to get rid of Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah also. And that's answer number one to our opening question. Why do we always read Parshas Nitzavim on the Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah? Because the same reason, Tichla Shana Rikiloset, to get rid of the old year, you know, and all of its punishments, including that Nitzavim. We can forget about all that, right? Tichla Shana Rikiloset. That's, yeah.
Verb.
So there are other places that's a problem. The Tosas. Yeah, that's another thing. It's a different thing. Okay, but anyway, Tosas says that answer, but Tabalai Tosas don't like this answer. He says, because you look on the third line, Vikosha, when we talk about Klolos, Shabbat Mishnah Torah, it's talking about the Tochacha, it's talking about Kisovo. And he brings a raya from a Gemara in Bab Metzia, Daf Peches and Beis, and I printed the Gemara there. The Gemara there talked about the two Tochachos. The Gemara contrasts the two Tochachos. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much more merciful than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the Peches and Beis in Baba Basra, it's not Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. But Amar Ablevi, Bo Rei Shalom, Kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Pasav Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he blessed the Jewish people, because each Tochacha is preceded by the Bracha, by Brachas too. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed them, he blessed them with 22 letters of the alphabet. What does it mean? Skip down for a moment, look in Parshas Bechukosai. Okay, Parakavav, the end of Ayikra, Ayikra Parakavav, Pasuk Gimel, that's the first Pasuk. Im Bechukosai Telecha, what does the Im start with? An Aleph. And how does the Brachas there end? In Pasuk Yud Gimel, of Parakavav of Ayikra, Ba'olech Eschem Kol Miyus, a Tav. So when it comes to the Brachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Brachas Aleph to Tav, A to Z, right? He gives all the Brachas. When it comes to the curses, how do the curses in Bechukosai start? Yud Dalet. The Imlo Sishma starts with a Vav, and it ends in Pasuk Mem Gimel, Gola Nafsham with a Mem. So Vav to Mem is how many letters? Not so many letters, right? When it comes to the Brachas, he gives us 22 letters, the whole Aleph Beis, A to Z, right? Aleph to Tav. Now, Berachon Besim Yishtayim, the Gemara says, but in terms of the Klal, it's only 8 letters. From Vav to Mem is only 8 letters. With Moshe Rabbeinu in his Tochacha, because remember Chumash Dvar, Moshe is speaking himself. Moshe Rabbeinu is exact reverse. Look in the Pesukim last week's Sedra in 7, in Dvarim Perek Chavches, it starts, V'hoya im Shamoa Tishma, right, V'vav, right? That's the bracha, and it says la'avdam in the end of pasuk yudalet. Okay, so it goes from vav to mem, just those eight letters. However, when it comes to the tocha, the curses, it starts with a vav, tes vav, in perikop ches, last week's chapter. V'hayam lo sishma b'kol Hashem l'kecha, and it goes all the way to pasuk samach ches, v'ein koneh, to hey. The whole aleph base, vav all the way back to hey, right? The 22, all. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the exact opposite. So what's that got to do with us? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu gave a more magnanimous bracha and a limited klala, and Moshe did the reverse. Fine. So says Tosus, you see from that Gemara, they're talking about the klala. They're talking about Parshas Kisavo. It's true, Enochanami, that Nitzavim has some curses in it too, but when Ezra made that takana, says Tosus, he was talking about the Tochacha. Yes, you can find elsewhere psukim, you know, that are also, but that's not what it meant. So the Tosus doesn't like that answer, that we want to get rid of Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah also, because that's not what the takana Ezra was about, according to Tosus. In fact, Tosus also points out, if you're going to go that far, so in Parshas Hazinu, look in source 8, Perek Lamed Bezor, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Tosus also talks about punishments. Mizei ra'av, famine, v'shein bahemos ha'shalach b'omim, wild animals will bite you. So I guess we should read Hazinu before then too. We should just pile everything up. The Shabbos before it. So says the Balei, say the Balei Tosfos, therefore they reject that answer of Rav Nissim Gaon. It can't be that Nitzavim is included. Okay? Therefore, they get to, back to the question. So Taka, why don't we? It's our two questions. The one we raise. So why Taka don't we do Takanas Ezra? And then the question I ask of Nissim Gaon: why in a year when you have that extra Shabbos, Taka don't we read? Nitzavim a week later, Ayelech, and get rid of Kisavo the Shabbos before. So the Balei Tosfos answer basically psychologically, and two lines in the bottom and back in two. Lufishen Anu Rotzim LaHafsik. Likros Shabbos Achas Kodim Rosh Hashanah B'Parsha Shalot Tehem Adabaris B'Kloz so much. You know, we're frightened by this Tochacha. We want to create a little bit of a buffer. Okay, we will listen to the Takanas Ezra, but who, if you take the Torah reading seriously and you read on Parsha Shabbos, this Shabbos, we're going to read all these terrible kolos, and the next night you're going to dip the apple in the honey and say Shana Tova Mesukah. So, you know, it's a little bit of a tough psychologically. So therefore, it says Tosus, we have a buffer. It's true the beginning of the Tzavim has some punishments too, but the rest of the Sedra, it's not the emphasis of the Sedra. And therefore, say the Balei Tosus, that's why we don't exactly follow the Takon of Ezra. We do it. We do read Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, just not right before Rosh Hashanah. We make a week in between a buffer. That's why we read the Tzavim on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. And Memela, that's also why we don't do the suggestion of these Talmidim and Rishim going to split up Matas and Masei and therefore read Nitzavim after Rosh Hashanah, because then we'll be stuck reading the Tocha right before. You know, again, it's depressing. Who wants to go from such a depressing state right into Rosh Hashanah the next night as it would be this year? So that's the Balei Tosfos answer. Okay, so those are the two classic answers to this question, why we have things the way we have them. If you look at 9, that's how we pass on the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, in Aruch Chaim, Siman Tov Chav Ches, Sif Dalet, 9. La'olam. So this is what, by the way, we do the same thing on the other end, by Shavuos. It's not our topic now, but we also don't read B'chukosai, that Tocha, on the Shabbos right before Shavuos. We always read B'midbar, once in a while not so too, but we're always B'midbar before Shavuos. Again, to make a little buffer. You don't want to go straight from these Tocha and these curses, mamish, right from there, straight into Yontif. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. In Tzim Tov Chav Ches Aruch Chaim Siv Dal, La'olam Korin Parshat B'midbar Sinai Kodem Atzeres, Teres Ruz, Tisha B'av, this is what Dr. Friedman, Tisha B'av Kodem V'eschanon, right? The Devarim is before Tisha B'av. Atem Nitzavim Korin Kodem Rosh Hashanah. We always read Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim for Rosh Hashanah. L'chein, Kirsha Rosh Hashanah B'yom Beis Gimel. When Rosh Hashanah lands on a Monday or a Tuesday like it does this year, Monday, right? Sheish Tei Shabbos Rosh Hashanah Tzvichim L'chalik Nitzam B'yelech. We have split up Nitzam B'yelech. So Vayelech will be read Bein Rosh Hashanah L'Tzom Kippur. We call Shabbos Shuvah. That's how we do this year. And Hazinu Bein Tzom Kippur L'Sukkis. Right? And so he has a little demonic if it helps you. Aval Kishir Rosh Hashanah B'Yom Hei Vav. Rosh Hashanah lands on a Thursday or a Friday. Okay? Oz Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah L'Sukkis El Shabbos Achas Shekorn B'Hazinu. So therefore you have to double up Vayelech before him. And Tosus points out that the Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall out on Friday. Okay, I don't know if that probably should say Hey Zion Thursday or Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah falls doesn't fall on Friday according to our calendar. It's Thursday. It's probably what it should mean over there. Anyway, that's what it said. Just as a side point, I print an interesting kasha that Maritz Chayes raises on the Gemara in Megillah. Just an interesting point. You know, we ask the question, so why do we always read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah? So, I mean, the answer is, well, you know, that's what we're up to. That's what, right? We're up to, that's what we're up to in our cycle, right? But the truth of the matter is that's because we have that particular cycle. At one time in Eretz Yisrael, that was not the cycle they had. It was called the triennial cycle. Different interpretation exactly what, but they didn't. What we call Simchas Torah didn't exist. The Gemara never speaks a word about Simchas Torah. There's no such yontif called Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, by us, is really technically speaking, is the second day of Shemini Atzeres. Right? We keep the two. We always keep an extra day outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Shemini Atzeres yontif, we keep the extra day. That's why in the Kiddush and the davening, we don't say Vatitein Lano is Yom Simchas Torah Hazeh. We say again Yom Shemini Chag Atzeres Hazeh. It's the second day of Shemini Atzeres. It just so happens that we've assigned in Eretz Yisrael, it's all wrapped into one day. It's crazy. Those who've been in Eretz Yisrael for Shemini Atzeres versus Simchas Torah, you know, it's all one day. So you say Yisker and you say Tfilas Geshem and you have a Kofis and it's just a, you know, a busy day. Here, not like that. Here we have the luxury so we can split it into two. But in any event, but the old practice was in that some places they didn't finish a Torah Simchas Torah. So they were up to Lav Davka, they were up to Parshas Nitzavim this week. They're up to whatever they're up to. They only read their, you know, they divided in their, it was a 3-year cycle. So the Maariv Chayes wonders, yeah, but we said this was a Takanas Ezra. It goes way back at the beginning of the Bayesh Sheni period. So my Maariv Chayes wonders in Megillah, on Gemara Megillah, he says, Nir Lefiza lo yodati livnei ma'arova, the people out in the west, that means Eretz Yisrael. When the Jews in Babel referred to Eretz Yisrael as the west coast, right? Because from Babel. So the people on the west coast, right? So the Maskil Raisa B'Tlashon, they finished around 3 years. I'm not sure what they did. He leaves as a question. Eichayu osim b'takonas Ezra. What they do? They weren't up to the Sedra. Right, so what do they do? So some suggest from Tzaddik in the Pre Tzaddik and Devarim in Parshas Kisavu and Osiyot Gimel suggests that, you know what probably they did? They took out on that Shabbos a second Sefer Torah, just like we do for Parshas Shkolim or Parshas Porah or whatever, and they read the Tochacha on that Shabbos. We're up to it. Our schedule works out. We don't have to do it. We don't have to play around like that. But Mistomet, I'm not aware of any evidence of this, but this is what some Achronim suggest, that to keep the Takanas Ezra when they weren't up to that naturally, they would lay in with it. They could have been somewhere in the middle of Chumash Shmos, and they would take out a second Sefer Torah to keep this Takanas Ezra, just like we do for Parshas Zohar or whatever.
When did
I'm not sure when. Relatively early, but not in the days of Ezra. Okay, that's just a side point. But I would like to suggest, at least al derech hadrush, the time we have left, a different. There's a two principal approaches. Why do we read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah? Dafke before, we always do it. Again, either because of Nisim Gaon says, because the Nitzavim includes certain punishments, we want to knock that out too, Tich Lashon Kiloser, or the Balei Tosfos say to create like a little buffer in between the harsh kolos of Parshas Kisavo with the Parshas, you know, with the new year, with Rosh Hashanah. I'd like to suggest a different direction, just at least al derech hadrush. The Gemara in there, in that same daf in Megillah, Lamed Aleph Beis, source 13, tells us, I mentioned before, differences between the Tochacha and the Chukosai and Vayikra, uttered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that uttered by Moshe Rabbeinu. So another difference is the following. How the Gemara gets, so it's not so important for us right now, but they make a very important difference. The Tochacha in Vayikra is written B'Loshon Rabbim. Just flip back for a second, you know, to the psukim that I quoted in source 6. In b'chukosai teilechu, ves mitzvosai tishmeru, in the devim lo tishmeuli, right? And so on. So it's B'Loshon Rabbim. The one in last week said in Kisavo is in B'Loshon Yochid. V'hoya im shamoa tishma, in source 7, right? Avelo sasur, v'hoya im lo tishma. Right, you see the difference. The whole Tochacha. That's the Gemara points out that difference. And that's halachic connection to. It's not our issue now, but I want to focus on that point. What's the difference between when something is in Lashon Yochid and Lashon Rabbim? Now, when you're speaking to a group, it can really go either way. Right, on one hand, the group is a unit, so we'd say it in the singular. On the other hand, the group is X number of people, so you can say it in the plural. In English, in our English, in American English, if you listen to a ball game, so you say, "And the crowd is going wild. The crowd is having a great time. Crowd is." There's 60,000 people there. But we say the crowd is, right? Because it's one unit. In British English, remember I was once in England, saw a soccer game, and the announcer was saying, "And the crowd are loving it." Crowd are. That's in British English, in Queen's English, I guess. That also makes sense. Again, there's 60,000 people, so it's many. They are, right? So both are correct. So what is the difference? I mean, I'm not saying anything is wrong, but what is the difference? Why does the Torah sometimes present something in Lashon Rabbim and sometimes in Lashon Yochid? So the Vilna Gaon sets down a rule. There are many exceptions, but a rule that they've all heard of. Okay? For example, it's coming up now, Sukkot, Lukim 15, Parshas Emor, Vayikra, Parak, Chof, Gimel, Pasuk, Mem, Ulekachtem Lochem. By Omar Rishon, Priyei Tzadid Arba Minim, right? The Esther, the Lulav, the Adas, and the Ravis, the Smachtem, the Joyce. The Gemara has a drasha mem aleph mem beis in sukkah ulekachtem 16 shetehei lekicha biyad kol echad veechad. When it's in plural ulekachtem, it means you and you and you and you and you. Each individual has this obligation. Ulekachtem lochem. Or another famous drasha, again, you've heard of this too, right? And by the way, Tosas there in Sukkah says openly, Mem Aleph Mem Beis 17, Udir Masu Lekachtem, says, Midiloksiv, Vilokachta, Loshon Yochid. It's Lekachtem. Each individual is obligated in this mitzvah, right? Parshas Emor, the same parsha, a little early in the parsha, Perakov Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav, Sirasa Omer, Usvartem Lochem, Mimorchas Shabbos, etc. Count 7 weeks, etc., etc. And the Gemara has a very similar drusha in Menachas Samachen Beis 19 Tanar Bonan Usvartem Lochem Shetehei Sefira Lechol Echad VeEchad. Every individual is obligated in Sirus Omer, as Rashi says there in Menachas Samachen Beis 20 Shekol Echad Dir Masal Lechol Echad VeEchad Shekol Echad Chayav Lispor. Right, and Tosus points out. And Samachesim Beis Himenachas, as opposed to when the Torah speaks in Parshas Behar, which are printed in 22, about counting the years to the Yovel, right, in 22, Vayikra Perkofei Posuches, Visofarto Lecho, Sheva Shabsol Shonim, and so on. They would count 7 years, Taikal to Shemitah, and 7 sevens to the Yovel. There it says, Visofarto Lecho. And Tosa says, you know why? Because there's not a mitzvah on every individual Jew to count the years. It's a job of Bezdin, the representative entity of Klal Yisrael. It's a mitzvah on Klal Yisrael, on the unit of Klal Yisrael. So when it comes to Sirus HaOmer, to count from Pesach to Shavuos, that's every individual. Me and you, Svartim Lochem, Shetei Sir, Sir Lechol Echad Rechad, every individual. When it says it in the singular, it's a Partol Lecha, then it's addressing the Jewish people as one unit, and therefore not every individual has to count the years to the Shemitah. The representative body of Klal Yisrael is the Bezdin HaGadol, so they're the ones who counted. That's a Sefarto Lecha. Okay? If that's the case, perhaps you can suggest the following. The Tochacha in Bichu Kosai, the end of Vayikra, that's addressing every individual. It's in the plural. You and you know this punishment, that punishment, and so on. The Tochacha here in Chumash Dvarim is addressing the entity of Klal Yisrael. What's the idea? So it's interesting. Here in our subject, Parsha Nitzavim, look at 24. Parsha Nitzavim, Perkov Tes, Posi Yudches. Very strange Posi. Bahoya b'shamos, might have a person who will hear all these curses. Bizbarach b'lvavo lemor, shalom yeli. The guy will say, I'll be okay. I'll continue to obey. And as this week said, shalom yeli, ki b'shrius li b'elech. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm no problem. Okay? And what will Hashem's response be in your test? Lo yova Hashem slo'ach lo. Hashem won't forgive him, and he'll get angry, and Hashem will punish him, and so on and so forth. Okay? Bizborach b'lavavo, like Rashi says in 25. Yachshu b'livo, bircha shalom. Everything's going to be fine. What do I have to worry about this for, right? So the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, in 26, in the Aderes Eliyahu, that's his parish, on one of his perushim on the Torah, on this week's sedger, Doran Parakov Tes, Posi Yurchez, the Aderes Eliyahu writes, what kind of a nutty person would do that? You have all these curses and punishments, and a guy's going to say, nah, not me. It's not going to happen to me. Right? Why would somebody do that? Right? Why would a person... So he says, because, Rav Gaon brings up this Gemara, because he thinks the punishments that are mentioned here in Chumash Devarim, that relates to the Klal Yisrael of the Tzibur. So I'll be okay. Whatever's going to happen to the Tzibur, but it won't happen to me. Right? In Bichu Kosai, it's addressed to every individual. Nobody would have the guts to say, not me. But when it's being addressed to everybody, Loshon Rabin, which means, Loshon Yochim, when Loshon Rabin addressed every individual, so a person wouldn't have the gumption to say that. However, when it's Loshon Yochid over here, it's all Klal Yisrael, so the guy will say, look, you know, that's on Klal Yisrael. I'll be okay. I'm one person. What's going to come to bother me? I'm one person. He's addressing the whole cloud. No, that's how. And then the pasuk therefore says, "Don't think you're going to get away with that." But that's the Vilna Gaon here in Aderes Eliyahu. Here in our sedra says, so that's a significant difference between the two things. And we find other examples also. For example, back in Parshas Truma, it talks about the making the aron. It says, "V'asu aron." That they will make an aron. And all the other times it says in the singular, it's Pisa, the Tzachta. So the Ramban in Chumash Shmos, on that pasuk in 28, on that pasuk in Parshas Truma says, because the Aron, everybody has a share in, because the Aron houses the Torah. So it's Vasu in the plural, you and you, all the individual. The other things can be made by one person. Fine. Now, so what does it have to do? So I think the essence is like this. There's something happening here in this Sedrin, Parshas Nitzavim, okay, on the heels of Parshas Kisavo, that is focusing on the entity of Klal Yisrael. And you know what it is? It's the official establishment of the entity of Klal Yisrael. This is when Klal Yisrael becomes a people. You look at the Rush in Megillah in Perek Dalet Siman Yud 29. Quotes just like Tosfos, the same kasha. They ask for Nissim going, why in a year when you have that extra Shabbos? You know, the same question we dealt with before. And so the Rav Nissim go and gave that answer. The Rush didn't like that answer any more than Tosfos did. So he says, no. Look at the end. It's not really. He gives a different thing about Nitzavim. He says another teretz. Ela osan shabatam Nitzavim enam klolos. Ela shehevir bnei Yisrael bebris. It was bringing the bnei Yisrael into a covenant. Now, what do I mean? They had a covenant already at Har Sinai, but here in Parshas Nitzavim is a second bris, and that's the opening psukim of our sedra. Look in 30, beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. Parakov tes posuk tes. Atem Nitzavim kulchem with national kechem. Right, you're all here now. Tapchem, the posuk, tapchem, the sheichem, the babies, the children, the women, everybody. Right, everybody. Posuk off. What purpose? La'avrecha bevris Hashem Elokecha. You're now entering into a bris. And what's the leman hakimos cha yom lo la'am v'yol ha'chalokim? You'll be his nation, and he'll be your God. Kasher diberloch, right? As was promised to you, and Tavam Yitzchak and Yaakov, and so on. And in Yud Gimel, v'lo yitchem levadchem anochi kores habris hazos. This covenant is not being established only with the people who are standing here. Kias hasher yeshno poem anom amir yom. And Rashi says, even future generations. Now, how can that be? How can a covenant be established, binding on future generations? They weren't there. I didn't say yes. I wasn't there. Right? The answer is because this bris was not being made with individuals, but with a nation. And whoever is part of it, like, you know, you have two heads of state or whatever sign a treaty. So it's not a treaty between two people. So now the next year the guy's voted out of office. So what happened to that treaty? So that it still exists. Now the new president can decide, or the new king or whatever, the prime minister can decide to undo. But in the meanwhile, it's binding, because it wasn't a deal between two people. It wasn't a contract between two individuals. It was between two entities. You can't. So therefore, says the what Rashi's hinting at, is this important notion of what's happening here now. That's why it's binding, as Pasuk Yud Dalet says, upon the generations lasid lava also. Because why can't I say, well, I wasn't there, right? So I never said yes. The answer is, you're part of that nation. You're part of that nation, then you're bound by the laws of that nation. And that's what's being established over here in Parshas Nitzavim. And that also explains in 32, Parakav Tes Pasuk Kav Ches, HaNistoros Hashem Elokeinu, HaNiglos Lono Vanei Aron Lassos Kol Dibei HaTorah Zos. Rashi quotes there, I'm going to say it outside to save a few moments, from 33, that is the origin of the concept that we call Arvus. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelaza. What does that mean? It has many meanings, but many important ramifications. One is with regards to mitzvahs. We have a principle that Afal Pisha Yotza Motzi. Even though I fulfill the mitzvah already, I can do the mitzvah on your behalf. We have a kiddush, right? I already heard kiddush. I can make kiddush for you, right? Or whatever. Many mitzvahs, right? I already said that. Whatever tkiya shofar. I mean, you know, so I can do tkiya shofar. Whatever the mitzvah is, that's called arvas or arevas. Okay. When did that take effect? It took effect here in Parshas Nitzavim. What's happening here in Parshas Nitzavim is the beginning of a different covenant, a covenant not with individuals at Har Sinai. Yes, the Jewish people united Har Sinai, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, but basically that there was no nation yet. Now they're becoming a nation. What's different? So the Maharal Prague and the Sivas Olam and Sivat Tzokah, Parag Vav 34, says, you know why? Because they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. A nation has a land. Until now, they've been wandering out the desert. They're a stateless people, so to speak. Okay, our landless people. So Kozman, before they went to the Arden, they weren't really going to be Arevim because they don't have that same status. That's what the Maral says. Okay, going into Eretz Yisrael, that's about to happen. Let's remember, the Chumash is over and they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, when it comes to defining Klal Yisrael, it's really only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael that count, not to depress anybody here. But there's a Pasuk in Parshas in Melachim Aleph. Parakes Posak Samachai Taka, that's I think the landing on Shmini Atzeres for the Haftorah. It says, Vaya Shlomo Boisrei Sechag, Shlomo celebrated and so on after building the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, Bechol Yisrael Imo, all the Jewish people were there. Kahol Gadol, a great assembly, a great congregation, Milavo Hamas Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. So the Gemara hurry the stuff. Gimel and Aleph darshan from that pasuk. You know who counts to Kol Yisrael? The ones who live. That's the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. The Jews living outside of Eretz Yisrael don't count in a certain sense towards the call of Kol Yisrael. Okay, that's how the Avnei Nezer writes in the Tshuva Chelik Archaim Siman Shin Yud Dalad Oz Dalad. The Sakhar Chavar Rebbe says what it means is what. Look in the 38. He says Ki Malas Eretz Yisrael Chutzarat Hashochnim Ba Kasa Maharal. First that Maharal. That's how I knew the. I didn't know the Maharal, but I saw it in Avnei Nezer. So he says Beinyan Arvul Sheya Betchilas Bias Maharat Ki Oretz Osel Hashochnim Aleh Ki Shechad. It's the land that binds them together. So basically, that's what's happened. They're going to Eretz Yisrael. It makes Jewish people into one nation. Memela, this is now a sea change in the Jewish people. They are now a community. They're now, and this bris begins under the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu in Arvos Moav, on the plains of Moav, on the other side of the Jordan. But it's actually completed when they come into Eretz Yisrael. They come to Har Gerizim and Har Evel with the brachas and so on that we read last week. But it's all, and it's recorded in the opening chapters of Sefer Yehoshua. So that's really what's going on over here. And that's why Parshas Kisovo, the Tochacha there ended in 39, Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Samantes, Ela Divrei HaBris, Asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, Lichros Ben Yisrael, Beretz Moav, Milvad HaBris, Asher Karas Itam B'Choriv, Choriv is Har Sinai, besides the Bris of Har Sinai. It's a second covenant. Milvad HaBris, Asher Karas Itam B'Choriv, it's something else. And this is a very important moment, so to speak, in Jewish history. Now, just as a side point, it's interesting. The Rambam has a discussion, okay, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam in 41. The Rambam, you know, tells you we have a tradition that there's 613 mitzvahs, but never lists in the Torah what's a mitzvah, what's not a mitzvah. How do you get to the tally? So the Rambam and many others wrote works, and the Rambam explains the first part of his book. He gives you 14 principles. How do you get to figure out whether it counts as a mitzvah or not? So the Rambam, one of the rules the Rambam says is in 41, Hashorash Hashrisha, Ein Royal Limnos Mitzvah Noagin Ladoros. You don't count as one of the 613 mitzvahs that are not relevant for all time. So, for example, in Mitzrayim, when they shechted the carbon pesach, they had to put the blood on the doorposts. Right? We don't have to do that. Therefore, that was one and out. That was just then only. So that doesn't count as one of, even though it was a mitzvah for them, but it's not a mitzvah in the Tariyag. So the Rambam is bothered because the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, back and forth of the Bahag, counts the brachos and klolos, right? And this concept as one of the Tariyag. And the Rambam says, how could it be? It was a one-time thing. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan Shapirlo, in 42, 100 years ago or so, wrote an extensive commentary on the Sefer Mitzvah. I mentioned many times, Sadigo and Sefer Mitzvah is a poetic list of all the mitzvahs. It's maybe, he goes to the Aleph Beis a couple of times. I don't know, maybe five pages, you know, that's not too long. Okay, it doesn't explain much, it just lists what the mitzvahs are in poetic form. Rabbi Yochanan Perlo, a great Talmud Chacham, 100 years ago, wrote a commentary, so three fat volumes. Okay, so, you know, there's one line from Rav Sadia Gaon, and then 35 pages from Rabbi Yochanan Perlo. Everything I always want to know about a mitzvah. So he says, that sounds like the Rambam is right, but he says, upon thinking further, and even the Ramban defends this, but he doesn't think it's right either. But the Rabbi Yochanan Perlo says, I think about it further. No, it is, the Sadia Gaon's right. The Bahag is right. They should count it, because this was an establishment of this relationship. The Brachos and Kolos was part of establishment of Bris, which is relevant forever. The Mitzvah of Arvus applies to all the time. Right? Applies to Dori Doros. So it should be. Okay? And I mean, you can read that if you're interested. But that's the idea of the establishment of a new people, so to speak. So I'd like to suggest, with that in mind, that now that the nation, what Parshas Nitzavim is, as it says at the beginning, Atem Nitzavim El Kulchem, Le'avrecha Bevriz, this new covenant, we want to read that before Rosh Hashanah. You know why? Because the establishment of a Jewish nation is pivotal to Rosh Hashanah and to Yom Kippur. And we got to read that before to set that tone. For example, you look in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes, okay, the famous Rambam, right? The Perek Gimel Halacha Daled Hilchos Tshuva. Tia Shofar is really a mitzvah, but why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? The Torah says so. Bottom line, right? But we have all kinds of symbolisms and different things that the Torah represent, that the shofar represents, and so on. And so, on one thing, of course, okay, a person should view himself as, you know, he has the opportunity to save the whole world, and so on, and to save himself. So it's an individual obligation. Good. But look at the Rambam Hilchos Shofar Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin 44. Hatzibur. There's tekiyah shofar for the tzibur. We blow it in the silent Shema Esrei. Now some shuls blow it in the repetition. Some shuls blow it in the silent Shema Esrei also. So Sfarad does like that and some. Here they do it. I forgot they changed back.
4 years ago.
So they do it, yes? They do, yes. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. The Chassidim do like that. The Sardim do like that. Most Ashkenazim don't do like that. Much we don't do like that. But whatever. But everybody blows in the Chazor Shashatz. Look at the language of Hatzibur Chayov and Lishmo Atkiyos. I'll say their brachas. Okay? There's some Kiyam of Shofar in the Tzibur. Right? The Tzibur means the entity of Kal Yisrael. Right, and the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva speaks in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Halacha Beis about a key feature of Yom Kippur was the Seir HaMishtaleach, the two Seirim. Right, one was offered on Mizbeach, one was pushed off the cliff. As we know, we say it over on Yom Kippur and Musaf and so on, because again, that was on behalf of the Tzibur. Okay, and look at the Rambam's language there, 46 Hilchos Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Zayin Yom HaKippurim Zman Tshuva LaKol LaYochad VeLaRabim. There's a concept of the rabbim, of the tzibur, that's in Yom Kippur. It's not just the mechila and tzlicha for me, but who kates mechila tzlicha Yisrael. And then for everybody, again, it's for the individual, but it's also for the tzibur. There's also a concept of the tzibur. It's interesting that Rabbi Yad Yosef points out in 47, the Yalki Yosef, that's in Tfilah Chelet Beis, it's in Kuf Lamed Aleph, it's in Oris, he writes, that's why on Yom Kippur and throughout tzlichas, what do we say about the Averis? Osham nu. But God knew, we, al chetche chaton knew, right? We're always saying in the plural, because there's a notion of the plural, that we're part of a tzibur. Okay, we're saying it, I'm joining myself to everybody else. Yeah, when the Torah speaks to us, so the plural means each individual. But when I talk myself, I mean, we have done all of this. In fact, I'll just end it off, okay? The Shulchan Aruch mentions a practice that we all know, okay? There's a minig, and it's in Tov Reish Chaf Aleph, Orachayim, Sivav, Nagu, Lidor, Tztokas, Biyom HaKippurim, Barah Mason. We give Tztokas in memory of the deceased. We call that Yizker, right? And we also say Yizker at the end of Sukkot, the end of Pesach. With that, the original minig was Yom Kippur, okay? And the Mishnah Berurah points out, other Rachonim, Sivkot Yuches, that's why the name of Yom Kippur, we call Yom Kippur, what's the official name? Yom HaKippurim. HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement would be the actual technical translation. Because he says, Loshon Rabbim, L'chaim V'lameisim. And going back to what I said before, in our Parsha, not only the people who are here, but the people who yet to be here, and the people who were here. They're all part of the corporate entity of the Tzibur Klal Yisrael. So that's why when we daven on Yom Kippur, we also bear in mind the Mason, those who are no longer here, but they're still part of Klal Yisrael. And they need a kapara too. And that's what the idea of giving stock on their behalf, that's what Yizkor is all about. Again, so we've extended Yizkor to other Yom Tovim also. But the original Yizkor was here, was Yom Kippur. Memela. So I'd just like to suggest that that's an auxiliary reason. Another reason, it's really based on the Rosh, that's why we want to read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, aside from the reason of Rav Nissim Gaon, you know, because there's some kolos and we want to get out of the way too. Or Tosa to make a buffer. What we're suggesting is that Parsha Nitzavim, our Sedrin, you pay attention to the words, is to establish his bris. Okay, besides the bris in our Sinai, a new bris with the entity with the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, we want to get that in before Rosh Hashanah. Because now we're part of a people, so that strengthens our tefillahs, that strengthens our kiyum of tekiyah shofar, that strengthens our vidiv, Hashem nu in the plural. That's the holy Yom Kippur is about the tzibur. We're able to do that, so we have a better chance of reaching our kadosh baruch hu the way we want. So, wish everybody a ksivah ksimah tova and a good kabbalah.
Thank you very much. The bris will enter the end of kisav. It's an
elder of your bris. Yeah, but
it's something that you're referring.
Right. Okay.